I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Your statement that you have been fooled, your statement that this has been studied is not true. It's categorically
it is
not
considered,
true, not for
it is,
any of this stuff.
It is considered,
considered by who?
By every scientist who has studied this.
That is not true. I can give
true.
You hundreds of scientists who have looked at this.
So on the one hand, do you understand why people aren't getting...
It's the National Academy of Sciences. What greater authority
do you understand why people are not getting measles vaccines? Because they're hearing you say that it could cause
autism. You're trying to change the subject.
I'm not. It's very much related.
Show me one of the studies that's been done on the first the vaccines during the first 6 months of life. You will not find them. The National Academy of Sciences.
So if that's the case, then why are you telling people to get the measles vaccine?
Because that is one of the vaccines that has been studied.
And that's where the fight started. Well, actually, that's about midway through the fight. Oh, hell, it might be the very end. No, we got a lot. That was Health and Human Services Secretary RFK Jr. yesterday on CNN and State of the Union with Dana Bash. He's calling her out. You don't know what you have been fooled. You have been fooled. And more importantly, you and your colleagues were trying to lie to the American public during COVID. And we all know it now. We know everything has been laid out. Dr. Fauci's diaries that we have access to now show he even knew it. He even knew it was wrong. He knew it came out of the Wuhan lab, which he denied it did. He kept wanting to say it's a wet market issue. And then he continued to know that the precautions and everything they were putting the American public under were not going to be of any value. But he was Dr. Science. And I am Mr. Science. Everybody should follow me. In the beginning of COVID, it was scary for a lot of folks. We did not know what we're dealing with, truly. And again, I have always insisted we need to have investigations, scientific studies into something being weaponized against the American people. And we need to study it and see how we would counter it, what we would do with it. But we do not have our chief adversary, China, do it in one of their labs, and we pay for it with U.S. tax dollars. Thank you, Dr. Fauci, and the rest of the group that supported him. Oh, this is going to be good. If you did not watch that, I'm sure many of you had other things to do, but this is a knock 'em out, suck 'em fight. And we're going to break it down for you as we go forward. Thanks for joining us on this Monday, August 3. My gosh, is the summer flying by. August 3, 2026. We are here for you Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. with news, analysis, opinion, and education. That is a promise with every hour of Larry Connors USA. You're going to leave each hour with more information and knowledge than you have as we begin that hour. I promise you that. And a program note for you. Tomorrow is Election Day. Make sure you vote. And regarding that, Larry Connors USA will not air tomorrow night. We'll be playing 1 hour of Jamie Allman's program and then going to election reporting at 7 o'clock, led by our own Newstalk STL, Tony Colombo. So that'll be on the air 7 o'clock tomorrow night. I will return on Wednesday. But here's what's coming up for you today in our next hour. The lead attorney at Under Law, giving you legal advice, what you need to know if you're injured through someone's negligence. What kind of claims can you go after? What are you entitled to, rightfully entitled to? That will be coming up in our next hour. You'll get a lot of information in that. Later this hour, the continued push to sexually mutilate our children. And the story behind the story today, Desert Storm, the first Gulf War. I went with a couple of photographers on a C-5 landing at Dahran, Saudi Arabia. We were there for a matter of maybe 90 hours. I can't recall exactly now. gathering all the materials and story information we can. Desert Shield had transitioned into Desert War. Desert Storm, I should say, at that point. I'll tell you how it was on the ground and other things that unfolded. Now, back to the State of the Union with Dana Bash yesterday and Dr. Fauci. Bash was trying to go after RFK Jr. because he's raised questions in the past, legitimate questions about do vaccines lead to autism. So she thought, oh, this is where I can nail him to the floor. Dana, you better pick somebody in your weight class.
Why not study what could cause autism, which scientists do believe starts with fetal brain development? Why not do some studies on that, whether there's you're an environmental lawyer, whether there are environmental factors that go into contributing to a predisposed genetic situation?
Let me say this first. We're doing all those things, and that's one of the ways that we found Tylenol. There's 73 studies out there and link Tylenol exposure during later pregnancy and during the perinatal period to autism onset. But you are wrong when you say that this issue has been studied. It has been studied, and you're rolling your eyes, Dana. But
I am, because I don't want to have you use our air to say this.
Oh.
There have been more than 40 studies involving 5.6 million people to conclude there is no link between vaccines and autism. This is the head of the Committee of Infectious Diseases for the American Academy of Pediatrics.
Yeah, now let me tell you what the Institute of Medicine says, which is the National Academy of Sciences, which is the ultimate arbiter on vaccine safety, and which it does not have an interest in this debate. It says that none of the 8 vaccines that are administered during the first 6 months of life have ever been studied for relationship to autism. It found 2 studies, one on the DTP vaccine, that showed that it does cause autism, and one on the hepatitis B vaccine. And again, suggests that it does cause autism. The Institute of Medicine dismissed those 2 studies because they were based on CDC's database.
She is out of her league trying to argue this stuff with Dr. Fauci. But quite honestly, all she is trying to do is re-promote the validity of what we, CNN, did, and the rest of the legacy media, during COVID. We were doing the right thing. We were listening to the science, Dr. Fake, and we were making sure the public, if you stepped out of line, you were going to be called on. We even promised you, and in fact, amplified tattletales. Call about your neighbor tip lines to report someone not wearing a mask. They're walking outside. You need to report them. This was the mindset of the leftist legacy media and those who were trying to control the American public during COVID. And it just so happened to have timing going into the presidential election. You remember that? Sure you do. They want you to kind of forget it and look past it. RFK Jr. says, look, we were protecting the public, but the other thing we want to be concerned about is our U.S. Constitution.
Let me ask you something. Do you see your job as ending vaccine hesitancy, or do you see your job as telling the truth to the American people?
I see my job as telling the truth, and the truth is that there is study after study after study. It's one of the most studied things out there in science.
You're repeating
and it
like
is
a parrot. You're repeating
so
it
you.
Like a parrot.
So
I've actually read the science.
You don't want to come back here and debate the science. I'm not debating this view.
Of course you won't.
No, because I'm not
all
debating.
All you know how to do is repeat things that people told you and say, trust the experts. That's what you did during COVID. Now we know that Anthony Fauci, who was the expert, was lying about everything, about masks, about the social distancing, about natural immunity, about the transmission from the vaccine, about the source of COVID. He was lying, and you were punishing people for not trusting the experts. And now you're rolling out the experts again.
Yes.
Yep. Rolling them out again. The same old, same old. Wash, rinse, repeat. Wash, rinse, repeat. Same old nonsense. Molly Hemingway, senior editor at The Federalist, pointed something out, reference after watching Dr. Fauci go through his Fifth Amendment clause claims last week in the Senate hearing. Molly Hemingway.
President Biden pardoned Anthony Fauci for his crimes. Some of that deals with how he was involved in funding gain-of-function research, such as at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Some of that is about how he suppressed any open inquiry of where the virus was coming from or even how to respond to it. But perhaps the worst crimes that he was pardoned for were how he weaponized the COVID pandemic and response to shutter the economy, to shut down schools, to shut down churches, to not to mention the loss of life because of poor decisions, the loss of trust in public health officials. Now, I do think states could get involved in holding him accountable. Maybe an enterprising attorney general in Florida or Governor DeSantis could think about ways that they could hold him accountable for some of what he did there. But you are correct that regardless of what happens, history will view him as something of a cartoonish villain.
Yeah, he's that cartoonish villain you see in all the cartoons. You know, on one hand, that might make Dr. Fauci feel very good. Look, I'll be in cartoons in addition to everything else. He doesn't get it. He never did get it. All he wanted was fame. And there's a thin line, Dr. Fauci, between famous and infamous. Do you know? Once again, RFK Jr. pushing, our concern has to also be the U.S. Constitution.
One of the mistakes we made in the last time was suppressing those rights so people weren't being heard. The doctors who were saying you're doing it wrong were being marginalized and vilified.
Yeah, and because again, I really want to move on, but
yeah,
you were saying you were
on, because
yes,
you
I
were
do.
Part of the problem.
No, yeah. I wasn't part
yeah,
of the
yeah,
problem.
Yeah, there was absolute press malpractice. We're allowing your
Mr.
job,
Secretary,
your job is a fierce skepticism okay. toward authority. And
yes,
you weren't doing
I am.
That. You were
I am.
Beating
my
up
job
on people
is also,
who were dissenting.
No. Okay. Are you gonna you wanna sit here and attack me or do you wanna have conversations
well, you're sitting
about
here
public
and attacking
health?
Me.
I'm not attacking you. I'm asking questions about how to
and
prevent
let me
the next
answer the question.
Pandemic.
You're talking nonsense.
Let
you're making
finish.
Assertions you can't support. And then when I call you on them, you're telling
Mr.
me that I'm
Mr.
arguing.
Okay,
with
do you wanna talk about assertions that you can't support? I'll get there in a second. Let me just say for the record that I am not saying that the entire way that the COVID reaction was accurate. It was a scary time and people made mistakes.
Made mistakes? You didn't just make mistakes. Once you realized you'd made a mistake, you didn't try to uncover it and unveil it. You doubled down on it, buying into Dr. Fauci, telling everyone you need to cancel any gathering at your house. You can't even have dinner with friends. Cancel your Thanksgiving dinner. And then he turns right around and invites Jake Tapper to his house for a dinner. Did Jake Tapper of CNN and NN ever report that? No, he did not. That tells you again, they were deceiving you every step of the way. In our next hour, law professor Jonathan Turley, George Washington University, will be talking about Fauci and the Fifth Amendment issue. That's in our next hour. You don't want to miss it. Now, over the weekend, the latest example of your constitutional Second Amendment rights being used to stop the killing spree.
Tonight, new video showing the moment a man stepped in to stop a shooter who opened fire outside this Idaho In-N-Out Burger Saturday afternoon, sending people running for their lives.
What's happening?
What happened?
What's happening?
Shoot. Go. Oh. Just go. Go.
You see a gunman with an AR-style rifle unleashing several rounds in the drive-thru of the popular fast food chain, which opened just days ago in Twin Falls. Another man then returns fire. Lane Cohen witnessed the shooting from his car.
Is he a hero?
Yeah, I would say he definitely distracted the shooter from shooting more people. The shooter is solely focused on him and allowed us to get out. I mean, the car directly ahead of me was getting shot.
Police crediting that man and an off-duty state trooper who also returned fire with helping save lives. Officials say three people were killed and at least seven others injured.
But again, because that gunman who was an armed citizen, a law-abiding citizen, pulled out his pistol and started shooting at the 24-year-old who was trying to kill everyone inside and around that In-N-Out Burger location in Twin Falls, Idaho. The man who did the shooting, his girlfriend was struck by the shooter. He said, but the guy did not like it when bullets started firing both ways. He was aided by an off-duty highway patrol officer who showed up. And they put a stop to him in shooting others. The gunman ended up taking his own life. Cowards that they are, obviously. Shooting unarmed people in a place where supposedly no one's supposed to have a gun. There is your Second Amendment right at work to protect you and your family and others. You know, back in 2019, at White Settlement, Texas, at West Freeway Church of Christ, they were having their normal church service. This is near Fort Worth. And a gunman came in and killed two members of the congregation. And then he was shot. He was shot by a 71-year-old member of that church who was a firearms instructor, a volunteer security leader for the church in case anything like that ever happened. He stepped up and with a single shot at 50 feet, 6 seconds after the first shots fired by the gunman, he dropped him, killed him on the spot, saved many of those who were in that church congregation. Now, when you pull a weapon to try to take down the bad guy, you need to be aware of what's behind them. You got to keep that in mind. And you want to be steady to make sure you hit the correct target. If you're in any doubt, get additional training. Prepare for it. Even the best qualified, trained, and retrained officers make mistakes. Oh, by the way, let's switch our attention to New York City and Mayor Mondami and his city-owned stores. The government-run supermarkets he opened up. You know what? If you're going to buy food in those supermarkets, God, I cannot believe I'm going to say this. You must present some form of government ID. You have to have some kind of ID. You got to have ID to buy food in the government-run stores. These are the same people telling you, you don't need an ID to vote, and who could afford to get one? And the poor people who might go to these government stores, where are they going to get their ID? By the way, Mondami put the names and addresses of some of his big New York City supporters on a public list, doxing them. You think they're going to be happy if their names and addresses are put on this list? I don't think so. Coming up, the man convicted of trying to kill Justice Kavanaugh. Now in prison for transsexual surgery at your expense. And the story behind the story, the first Gulf War. Luck and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gazoons height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gazoons height is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. Every summer, homeowners make plans, a new grill, a backyard project, a family vacation. But what about the upgrades you could enjoy every single day? Your windows drafty, difficult to open? Your patio entry door has seen better days. Now's the time to make a change. Renewal by Anderson makes replacing windows and doors simple. Beautifully crafted products, professional installation. And right now, save big. Get $1,000 off your patio or entry door and take $400 off each replacement window. And if you schedule your appointment before July 12, get an additional $250 off your entire purchase. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit renewalbyanderson.com. 877-WINDOWS or visit renewalbyanderson.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products. Exceptional service. It's that time of season when families' businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. The man accused and convicted of trying to kill Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh now is identifying as a woman and just got transferred to a federal medical center, a detention center that's been turned into a transgender medical intervention facility. What the hell? And this is being paid for by you. This is part of a story brought to us in the Federalist by Brecken Thies. He's the White House correspondent for the Federalist. Brecken, glad to have you with us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So give us a background of how this man, who now calls himself, what, Sophie, is being transferred?
Sophie.
Going into a transgender prison?
Yeah, that's right. Well, the background is sort of part of the confusing thing, because there's really not a ton of information out there about how this ended up happening. We just know that it has. So he was sentenced back in October 2025 to 8 years in prison, which, by the way, is 22 years less than the minimum for the sentencing guidelines. It should be 30 years to life, but that's a whole other story. Since then, it's said on the Bureau of Prisons page for him, unknown, like the facility he's being sentenced to is unknown, until maybe a week or two ago when it got updated that it's this Federal Medical Center, FMC Fort Worth, which is the male facility. It has a sister facility in the Fort Worth area called FMC Carswell, which is the female facility that the Biden administration turned into these major transgender surgery hubs within the Bureau of Prison system. So how he got there is really the question, because it also, not only were his sentencing guidelines disregarded with the term of years, but the sentencing preferences, which aren't necessarily guidelines, but they're, you know, basically kind of guidelines for the Bureau of Prison, say that you should be placed within a prison within 500 driving miles of your residence. So Roski is from the Los Angeles area. That means that he should be within 500 driving miles of Los Angeles. The crime was committed in Maryland, and you could make the argument that it could be 500 miles from where the crime was committed. But right, neither of those places would land you in Texas at all.
So he ends up in Texas, Fort Worth Men's Prison. And about a month before he was sentenced, he suddenly, at that point, started identifying as a female, just a month before being sentenced.
That's correct. As far as we can tell with the documents in the court system and, you know, his letters to the judge and things like that, those started coming in September of 2025. He was sentenced in October, like I said. And as soon as that happened, Judge Deborah Boardman, who oversaw this and gave the extremely light sentence, started referring to him with female pronouns, and then said in her sentencing reasoning that she took into account his identification as a woman as part of why she gave him, 8 years instead of 30.
So you can be a woman, even if you want to call yourself a woman or be a woman, and instead of getting 30 years for trying to kill a member of the U.S. High Court, you can get 8 years, maybe less. And in fact, you can be sent to a facility and have a sex change operation paid for by taxpayers.
That's what it seems like. You know, the thing is, though, is that the actual offerings at this facility are a little bit unclear, because the Trump administration did try to stop this from happening with an executive order. That executive order was blocked, of course, as we've been used to by a federal judge. But the surgeries themselves, unclear if that's continuing. What is clear, though, is that at the very least, hormone replacements, testosterone or estrogen therapies are still being given per the injunction. I just had someone confirm to me, actually literally 5 minutes ago, right before we got on the air here, that people at FMC Carswell, the sister prison, are still receiving their testosterone. So these are women who are trying to transition into men. So I can't imagine it's the case that it's any different at Fort Worth, the male prison.
Well, we're talking about the Bureau of Prisons, and didn't Trump obviously make an effort to put an end to all of this, the transsexual surgery anyway? But you're telling me just minutes ago it got reaffirmed to you that they are still providing hormone injections.
That is correct. And let me just say that the surgery part of this is unclear. I have not been able to hear from anyone whether or not the surgeries are continuing. Now, I will say that the injunction did block the Trump executive order basically fully, it says, is how it reads. And then it says about the hormone replacement specifically. It doesn't say anything about the surgeries, but then it also adds that things are going to go back to the way they were prior to the executive order, which Trump signed on his first day in office. So whether the surgeries are happening right now is kind of the big question, but it is not a question that the hormone replacements are still happening at these prisons.
You're listening to Brecken Thies, White House correspondent for The Federalist, has a great article in The Federalist today. I encourage you to pull it up and read it. You also quote that the BOP, when they were asked about to comment on this, they say, here comes a standard template, for privacy, safety, and security reasons, the Federal Bureau of Prisons does not comment on matters, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that is the standard template for not wanting to answer the question. I mean, you know, I will say every single, federal program or rather department will give you this when there's pending litigation. I mean, it is being appealed, I believe. So I guess that's fair in some ways. But in other ways, I mean, you know, I didn't actually ask them about Roski himself. I asked them about the general policy and how the injunction applies to what can and cannot be done at these facilities, which seems like that's a fair question that they would be able to answer. How does the injunction affect your operations?
Sure.
Under HIPAA, we're never going to be able to find out, you know, what is happening with Roski. And that's not what I asked. I just asked how the injunction affected what they're able to do.
So you're trying an end run, but also a direct run at what the target was. But again, they throw the template in your face.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, the other thing that you'd mentioned, I do want to spend a little bit of time on. You said that, you know, could have gotten 30 years, ends up getting 8 because the judge decided, well, because you're a woman or you're a person that is confused, I'm only going to give you 8. Where the hell does that reasoning come from?
You know, that's a good question. I can't get inside the mind of Deborah Boardman, why she thinks that identifying as the opposite sex would allow you to, you know, commit this crime anyway. You know, I mean, like that's kind of, it doesn't allow it. Just like gives you a lenient, you know, makes it easier for you if you've attempted to assassinate a Supreme Court justice, but you say that, oh, I'm confused and I'm a woman now. Oh, that means you get a lighter sentence or something like that. It's extremely bizarre. You know, it's hard to know if she just doesn't care and doesn't like Brett Kavanaugh, or if she just sort of wants to put a thumb in the eye of the Trump administration, because yeah. She does mention that, you know, because she's going to because Roski is going to be in a male prison per the executive order, that's going to be much harder for him to be there. So that's why he shouldn't spend as much time there. So it was clearly an attack on the executive order from the Trump administration.
Now, as you point out also, that there are impeachment proceedings against the judge in the House of Representatives while the Trump administration is appealing that short sentence. Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. They were introduced by Representative Chip Roy. Now, he's on his way out because he's not running again for his House seat. It remains to be seen if someone will pick that impeachment proceedings back up. Kind of can't imagine they won't, because this is so egregious. But, ideally, this kind of sentencing situation here with the short timing and also the receiving the trans drugs, if that's proven again, but that's going to take maybe congressional hearings or something like that to see exactly what kind of things that this person is receiving.
All right, Brecken, I want to thank you very much for your time. Sorry about the beeping interruption there, but thank you very much, and we'll have to do something with you again in the future.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet. By the way, how many of you remember the Battle of the Sexes when Billie Jean King defeated Bobby Riggs? This was all the beginning. We're talking about 1973, if men can compete against women. We're going to go back to that in our next hour. Dealing also with Serena and Venus Williams playing against a man that was reminiscent of the Battle of the Sexes. Again, this is an issue of should men be competing against women? Well, the Bobby Riggs case was one case, and then you have the Serena and Venus Williams playing against a man also in a challenge. That'll be coming up in our next hour, so you want to stick around and pick that up as well. As I told you, with every hour of Larry Connors USA, you also get education, news, analysis, commentary, and education. Coming up, the story behind the story. The first Gulf War and what I saw on the ground in the short time I was there.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day, because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. Every summer, homeowners make plans: a new grill, a backyard project, a family vacation. But what about the upgrades you could enjoy every single day? Your windows drafty, difficult to open? Your patio entry door has seen better days. Now's the time to make a change. Renewal by Anderson makes replacing windows and doors simple. Beautifully crafted products, professional installation. And right now, save big. Get $1,000 off your patio or entry door and take $400 off each replacement window. And if you schedule your appointment before July 12, get an additional $250 off your entire purchase. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit renewalbyanderson.com. 877-WINDOWS or visit renewalbyanderson.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products. Exceptional service. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Here Uncle Sam put your name at the top of his list, and the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
Just 2 hours ago, Allied Air Forces began an attack on military targets in Iraq and Kuwait. These attacks continue as I speak. Ground forces are not engaged. This conflict started August 2nd when the dictator of Iraq invaded a small and helpless neighbor. Kuwait, a member of the Arab League and a member of the United Nations, was crushed, its people brutalized. 5 months ago, Saddam Hussein started this cruel war against Kuwait. Tonight, the battle has been joined. Now, the 28 countries with forces in the Gulf area have exhausted all reasonable efforts to reach a peaceful resolution. Have no choice but to drive Saddam from Kuwait by force. We will not fail. As I report to you, air attacks are underway against military targets in Iraq. We are determined to knock out Saddam Hussein's nuclear bomb potential. We will also destroy his chemical weapons facilities. Much of Saddam's artillery and tanks will be destroyed. Our operations are designed to best protect the lives of all the coalition forces by targeting Saddam's vast military arsenal. Initial reports from General Schwarzkopf are that our operations are proceeding according to plan. Our objectives are clear. Saddam Hussein's forces will leave Kuwait. The legitimate government of Kuwait will be restored to its rightful place. And Kuwait will once again be free.
That is our 41st president, President George H.W. Bush, January 17, 1991, announcing to the nation that we are leading a 41-country coalition in two phases to go against not Iran, but Iraq in this case, led by Saddam Hussein, who had been in a battle, by the way, with Iran, an eight-year war back in 1980. But then he ordered the invasion of Kuwait in 1990. That triggered what some call the Persian Gulf War, also sometimes called the First Gulf War. There was a, quote, second, if you look at the Iraq War in 2003, when we deposed Saddam Hussein, or as President Bush 43 said, Saddam, Saddam. I loved it. I loved it when he did that. And sometimes his father said the same thing, which they knew infuriated Saddam. But it all began with Operation Desert Shield, responding to Hussein invading Kuwait. Yes, it was all about oil. For those of you saying it's all about an oil, yes, it was. But it was also the integrity. The UN Security Council demanded Iraq's immediate withdrawal and imposed an embargo on all products from Iraq at that point. And the coalition began building up. It was the broadest military alliance since World War II. The biggest contributors, U.S., Saudi Arabia, the United Kingdom, and Egypt. And you heard the president mention the air war.
In 1991, the Persian Gulf was the site of a new kind of war. With the latest warfighting technology at their disposal, a US-led coalition dismantled the world's fourth largest army within a matter of days. A feat that, if recent wars are anything to go by, is harder than it looks. So how did they do it? At 2:38 a.m. on the 17th of January, the air campaign began. The scale of the assault on that first night was incredible. First, coalition attack helicopters destroyed Iraqi radars, cutting a 20-mile gap through which strike aircraft could flow. F-4 Wild Weasel units hit Iraqi air defences alongside A-6 Intruders and F-18s, while F-111s, F-15s and A-10 Warthogs struck military targets and radar sites throughout Iraq. At the same time, F-117 Nighthawks orbited Baghdad undetected, destroying command and control installations with assistance from Tomahawk missiles launched by US ships in the Gulf. Further away, B-52s fired cruise missiles at power stations, while U-2s, AWACS, and refueling tankers circled the area overhead.
Now, part of that is from the Imperial War Museum, talking about the air war that got launched 42 consecutive days and nights. One of the most intensive air bombardments in military history. More than 100,000 sorties, dropping something like 88 tons of bombs. What was Iraq doing in its defense?
The Iraqi Air Force barely came out to fight, and over the following 42 days, coalition aircraft would fly over 100,000 sorties in one of the largest aerial bombardments in history. In response, Iraqi forces began setting fire to oil wells, hoping to disrupt the coalition bombing campaign and destroy Kuwaiti oil production. The more than 600 oil fires would cause an environmental disaster. Saddam also began launching Scud missile attacks on Israel and Saudi Arabia. He hoped to bring the Israelis into the conflict and split the coalition. But though the missiles did cause widespread damage, Israel stayed out thanks to heavy US lobbying. Meanwhile, coalition special forces entered Iraq to hunt for Scud missile launchers.
Now, those Scud missiles were very critical, and I'll come back to that in a moment. I had the opportunity to fly with two photographers on a C-5 over to Dahran, Saudi Arabia, just across the Gulf from Iraq. Now, we flew out of Dover Air Force Base, loaded with materials, then had to fly down to Fort Bragg, Georgia, to pick up troops who rode in the tail end of that C-5, and I'm sure it was a rough flight, long flight for them. I was able to ride up front with the pilots as well as my photographers. When we hit the ground running. I'd already pre-decided some questions I wanted to ask in so-called stand-ups of basically setting a soundbite or something up. One photographer had to stay with me. I said, you got the bad job. You got to stay with me. The other one, go get every kind of video you can. I have been at numerous military installations. I have never seen such a major buildup of forces, French and British jets, along with U.S. jets, in bunkers ready to go and often taking off at different times. There was an alert, obviously, but we were pretty free to move around. By the way, a propaganda campaign was being carried out to the Iraqis.
The coalition planned to use their air power to reduce the strength of the Iraqi armed forces in Kuwait by at least 50%. When this was achieved, the ground campaign would begin. The coalition bombing campaign had a devastating effect on Iraqi troops. Coalition forces attempted to exploit this by encouraging Iraqi soldiers to lay down their arms by dropping thousands upon thousands of leaflets. This banknote may look like true Iraqi currency from the time, but in fact, it's a propaganda leaflet. It roughly reads as, Saddam's daily ration for you is what? And indicates this by using the big question mark. The daily ration for coalition soldiers is, and then proceeds to list a long range of food. It finishes by saying prisoners are fed the same meal as coalition soldiers. Banknotes such as these have often been used historically as a propaganda tool, as you can almost guarantee that people will pick them up and read them if they think they're real banknotes. If they worked, the leaflet and bombing campaign would allow coalition forces to speed through the Iraqi army and liberate Kuwait.
So the propaganda leaflets might have helped in a large part, but also just the advancement of the U.S. forces, the ground action.
All eyes were now on a coalition ground invasion, with G-Day to fall on the 24th of February, 1991. Iraqi forces in the theater had been seriously degraded by the coalition air campaign, numbered around 300,000 men. They favored a Soviet-style defense in depth. A line of weakened infantry divisions held a series of minefields, trenches, and bunkers along the border. Behind them, another line of armored and mechanized infantry divisions were ready to counterattack any breakthrough. Amongst them were elite Republican Guard divisions, the best equipped and trained of the Iraqi forces. Alongside the liberation of Kuwait, their destruction was the key Allied objective. And to do that, Schwarzkopf planned a grand flanking maneuver. On G-Day, Arab forces on the coast and US Marines further inland would attack across the main minefield defences towards Kuwait City. Meanwhile, 18th Airborne Corps on the far left would attack deep into Iraq to secure the flank and block any Iraqi retreat.
Now, while we were in Dahran, we were within range of Scud missiles and other things, but again, we were moving about freely. No alerts sounded while we were there. But how dangerous it really was became evident about 2 weeks after we left. So yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
I think this is probably one of the most important parts of the entire briefing I could talk about. As you know, very early on, we took out the Iraqi Air Force.
Yep,
we knew that he had very, very limited reconnaissance means. And therefore, when we took out his Air Force, for all intents and purposes, we took out his ability to see what we were doing down here in Saudi Arabia.
That's General Schwarzkopf in one of his briefings. And again, the fact that we had troops on the ground and the actions they were carrying out was also a surprise for the Iraqis.
When the attack began on the 24th of February, coalition forces could not believe their luck.
Iraqi morale crumbled under the weight of coalition firepower. The success of the air campaign in destroying key areas of national infrastructure meant that supplies wouldn't arrive for Iraqi forces and their communications were cut. Iraqi forces sustained huge casualties and this impacted on morale. Iraqi troops either surrendered or fled using any vehicle they could find.
On the right, coalition forces moved through the Iraqi minefields with ease, while on the left, the only delays came from rains and sandstorms. In fact, the attack moved so quickly that Schwarzkopf was forced to bring the main attack forward to that day. When it came, 7th Corps faced somewhat tougher resistance, but utilizing overwhelming artillery and MLRS fire support, they plowed through the Iraqi trenches, with the sheer volume of Iraqi prisoners the only thing to slow them down.
In other words, they were all surrendering, and we had to deal with them as opposed to continuing to go after the others. And of course, then you had those fleeing the best they can. You remember the video and the pictures from the death highway, as they called it, as they were all trying to get out of the area and became targets.
In the wake of the coalition advances, Iraqi troops were seen leaving Kuwait City. Hundreds of vehicles were effectively trapped in a traffic jam and were vulnerable to air attack. Coalition forces attacked those retreating vehicles using laser-guided bombs. Footage of the burnt-out vehicles that littered the road were shared on national television, and this so-called highway of death became one of the most recognizable images of the war. But it also sparked a debate around the decision to attack and whether this represented a disproportionate use of force. Coalition leaders were extremely keen to maintain the moral high ground. And days later, President Bush declared a ceasefire.
The remnants of surviving Iraqi divisions escaped towards Baghdad, with the rest destroyed or captured.
Now, I told you that while we were in Dahran, there were never any alerts sounded, although fighter jets were flying out on sorties on a constant basis. I don't claim to be a war correspondent. I have admiration for those who have actually been in something like that. But I realized just how close we were a couple weeks after we left. A Scud missile dropped right into the area where we had been with the troops on the 25th of Feb, 1991. And it hit an army barracks of the 14th Quartermaster Detachment from Pennsylvania, killing 28 soldiers, injuring more than 100. There was a Patriot missile battery that was supposed to bring down the Scud. It failed to do so. So it was a constant state of danger for all of those in that region, and that one Scud missile that got through proved it. It was a sad thing when we thought we were not going to lose any more troops. That was the story behind the story of the first Gulf War. I truly thank the photographers that were there with me that and took a lot of video and pictures for us. And it was an amazing part of my career. Tomorrow night, I want to remind you, we will have election coverage. We will not be on the air tomorrow night, but we will be back Wednesday. And yes, with another story behind the story. We do have a second hour yet to come you don't want to miss. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beale Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beale to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beale has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beale. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Under Law. .com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.